Bibles and stand together and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I know it's a little warm. I don't like to remind people because I just reminded you that it's a little warm. We might get out early tonight because we have a meeting with the parents, but might is always maybe, and maybe rarely happens. So, but possibly. Colossians chapter 3, underneath the surface of every Christian life, there needs to be the right motives, there needs to be our hearts in tune with God, there needs to be scriptural understanding. There's a lot that God wants us to do. We're down here to do something. We mentioned this morning, Paul said, I'd rather for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, desiring he'd rather go to heaven and die and go to heaven. But he said, it's much more needful for you, the people at Philippi. And so we have a purpose down here. And there is much to do, but we have to have our hearts right. And we don't just do. We have to have our hearts right. We have to have our motives right. We have to sometimes be reminded about that. Colossians chapter 3. I want to just talk about a little bit about our motives tonight and why we do what we do. And everybody's doing something, okay? Someone out there, you're making money. Maybe not inside. Maybe they're on the patio. Okay, maybe you're making money. I got a question for you tonight. Why? Why? Why do you want to make money? We have people in college. Why are you going to college? What are you doing? Why? Why? I want to get married. By the way, I'm already married. How many single men out there? Single men, raise your hand. Put it up. Put it up like you want to get yourself a wife. Come on, this is like free advertisement. Okay, how many of you single guys want to get married? Raise your hand. Okay. Why? I say I want to get married because it's lonely going home at night. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, we read this morning, seek those things which are where, class? Above. Now I want you to do this. I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Make a left turn, two chapters. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption, we've been redeemed, we've been bought back through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created by him and for him. Not just by him, okay? Someone told me, I think yesterday, that there's a boy that's in a public school, and they were teaching evolution, and he wouldn't answer the questions that were saying that we came from polywogs and monkeys and all that type of stuff. And so I think the teacher gave him an F in his class. By the way, he gets an A for being a Christian. Okay, I won't belabor the thought, but too much of that type of learning can confuse a boy. But everything was created by him, but sometimes we miss the for him. All things, in verse 16, were created by him and for him. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Okay? Don't criticize the church. You say, why? This is Jesus' church. Well, the church, No, this is Jesus' church. Who's the? I'm not the head. I'm the shepherd. This is Jesus' church. Okay? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, as someone was, oh, Brother Charlie, as in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Father, help us to just understand that you made everything. And you didn't only make everything, but you made it for a purpose. It's all for you. We get to enjoy what you've given us, but it's all for you. Lord, help us to have our priorities right. And all of us, Lord, pastor including, we get a little cattywampus at times. Our priorities get a little bit off. We sort of think that we are created down here for us and to ask God to bless what we're doing. We got it backwards. We're created for you, and we're supposed to find out what you want us to do and do it your way. Bless our message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Ezekiel, I feel like I'm in a cave. Our sound, I don't know if it sounds like that out there, but my monitor does. All things were created by him and for him. The beautiful flowers were created to express his glory in their brightness for him. The majestic mountains were created to express his greatness for him. The bold lions were created to express God's boldness for him. The beautiful, colorful butterfly was created to express God's glory in their beautiful colors for him. Everything was created by him and for him. The stars of the sky were created by him and for him. The planets in the air were created by him and for him. The wild animals of the field were created by him and for him. The vast oceans were created by him and for him. The large landmass of the earth was created by him and for him. The hummingbird's buzz was created by him and for him. The eagle's soar was created by him and for him. The wind's blow was created by him and for him. The rains that come from the clouds were created by him. Please get this. The only one of God's creation that does not totally yield to God's purpose is mankind. The hummingbird obeys God. The geese know when to fly south and when to fly back north. The only creation of God that does not totally commit and yield to God's purpose is man. And I think we should say, oh me. There was a little clip I saw today. They were interviewing LeBron James, and they were interviewing Kobe Bryant. And they, by the way, I'm not a LeBron James. I'll give a disclaimer here. I'm not a LeBron James fan. I'm not a LeBron James hater. I'm just let you know that. But they had LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, and those three. And they asked LeBron, they said, now you've got a championship. And, of course, they've been after him because he hadn't had a championship. You got a championship this year. You got an MVP this year. Still got a ring in that, Brother Ezekiel. Got an MVP this year. You got a championship, and now you got a gold medal. And they said, the guy that was interviewing him, he said, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, it's not about me. He said, this is about those three letters right there, USA. He said, this gold medal is for the United States of America. Now, let me say this. As Christians, it's not about us. Everything we should do should go to the glory of God. I remember when I was in junior high. Remember the guy? Now we our boys play basketball here and so forth. But I remember as a kid, there was a guy you didn't want to pass the ball to. You say, why? We call it a black hole. It'll never come back. Never come back. Who are you talking about? Your brother-in-law? Don't criticize your family on the platform. Remember, now I don't know if they use this anymore, but remember when we were kids, what do we call them? Glory hogs. How many remember that? I haven't heard that in years. Glory hogs. Remember a glory hog? We call him a glory hog. You say, why? He was hogging the ball, and he wanted all the glory. God does not want Christians to be glory hogs. We need to give the glory to him. To truly understand the heart of God, we must understand how much he wants us to give him glory, to his name. I want you to look at a few verses tonight. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We will be surprised what God will do in our lives if we truly give him the glory. By the way, saying, glory to God, that doesn't necessarily mean we're giving him the glory. God knows if we're going to give him the glory. God knows our heart. John chapter 14, and look at verse number 12. John 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be what, class? Say it again, please. May be glorified in the Son. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse number 18. Isaiah 41, verse number 18. We will be surprised what God will do in our life if we truly and sincerely have a heart to give him the glory for what goes on in our life and what we intend to do. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together. Look at verse 20. Why? That they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. You say, what is God saying? God's saying this. I have my son over here, and he has little Mary. She's about 4 months old. 5 months old. She's 5 months old. And God is saying this. Listen, God would love to bless Joseph, his wife Jennifer, their little baby Mary, if he will say, and Jennifer will say, Lord, we make a commitment to you. As you bless us, we will give you the glory. As you bless Mary, we will give you the glory. God wants the glory. I remember, by the way, if you're a ministry worker, let me say this. God wants to bless your ministry. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your family. And one reason, I mean, it's not quite that simple, but one reason we don't get the blessings that God wants to give us is because we hang on to that glory. Or we take the credit for it. I remember is when I was in Bible college as a bus captain, I took this verse here in Isaiah chapter 41, and I committed it to my bus route. And I said, Lord, I enjoy being in the ministry. I enjoy serving you. I enjoy winning souls to Christ. I enjoy bringing people to church. But I want to let you know, if you'll do something great on this bus route, I will make a commitment to give you all the glory. We will be surprised what God will do if we'll truly give him the glory. Let me say number two. The Lord desires our works. The Lord desires our works to glorify him. Look over to Matthew chapter 5 real fast. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 16, the Lord desires our works to glorify him. Matthew 5, verse number 16, please. Let your light so shine, and we sing in the children's church about letting your light shine. We preach messages about letting your light shine. The church should be a shining light in the community. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. By the way, let people see your good works in the workplace. Let people see your good works in the community. Let the community see our good works. Brother Pineda, the community have a cleanup or something's going on, and he'll bring a bunch of our teenagers out there. You say, why? We're trying to be a testimony so people can see the good works of God's people so they can glorify God and we can see people saved. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but look at these next few words, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants to be glorified. By the way, look up here. That's why our work should be pure. You say, Pastor, what do you mean pure? You never do right to do wrong to do right. You don't compromise, okay? You don't lie to get a bus kid on the bus to get him saved. That's not glorifying. You know what that's doing? That's muddying up God's name. That's not glorifying God's name. You never do right to do wrong to do right. That, by the way, that's why we need to be people of integrity. And we need to be people that have our hearts right. We need to be people of truth. Don't lie. I know we're a little tired, a little warm here. Don't be a liar. Be honest. By the way, if you're a leader in the church, Brother Charlie came up here, you ought to tithe. You say, why? You wrote on a covenant that said, I'm a leader in this church and I'll tithe. That's just keeping your word. God says our good works should glorify him. In other words, some good works don't glorify God. I probably shouldn't say this, but I didn't approve this. Wasn't a good idea. It's sort of funny, but it's sort of dumb, and I don't think it glorified God. One of our guys, sometimes, you know, a bus breaks down or bus is full or something, and one of our bus workers, we got to get him to church. Okay? And I was with one of our old bus captains that didn't go to our church. He disappeared. He fell off the face of the earth. I don't know where he is. I won't say who it is. Some of you know who it is. And we're in Albertsons together. I can't remember why we were together. And he said, hey, this guy, his son used to ride our bus. I said, really? I said, why doesn't he ride the bus anymore? He said, well, I said, well, why doesn't he ride the bus anymore? He said, what happened one day? He said, we ran out of room, and he said, my car was full too. And he said, so what I did is he said, he looked right and he looked left and he opened up the trunk and he said, hey, Billy, hop in the trunk. Closed the trunk, drove the kid to church in the trunk. Let me say this. I know you want to laugh or cry. That doesn't glorify God. Okay? We do our works. Jesus said, listen, let your light so shine. Let your light shine so people that can see it, so they glorify it. That's why we need to do the work of God the way God wants us to do it. I've told this story before. There was a man, and he went to see his pastor, and the man had won $87 million lotto money. Not 87, not 870, not 8700 or 87,000 or 870,000, $8.7 million. Or, I'm sorry, $87 million. And he went to his pastor's office, and he was happy. Sit down, and he had a check for $8.7 million. And he said, Pastor, I have a tithe to give you. By the way, if you win an $87 million lotto, word gets out. So I'm pretty sure the pastor knew about it, and he passed the check. He said, "Here's an $8.7 million tithe check." Here's the test. You say, Pastor, what have you done? Don't let me know you won it with a lotto, okay? And he got the check, and he passed it back. He says, we don't want the check. He said, we don't want this community to think that this church has been built on lotto money. You say, why? Because it's not all about money. And by the way, if you have an 8.7, listen, I'll take an $87 check for the building. If you have something you want to give to God and it's clean money and it's pure money, that's okay. But all of our works are to glorify God. Amen? By the way, we enter the fall program. We have bus ministry and we have adult classes and different workers and we're doing ministry and we're trying to get as many people saved as possible and bring people to God. When we do that, if we come on our get on our knees and say, God, I'm here to work for you, and we get our hearts right and we make sure that we have our motives right, we say, Lord, in my works, I want my works to glorify you, we'll be surprised what God will do. Number three, the process, and this is just real fast, the process of everything we do at that building, we should be glorifying God. There was actually a pastor, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I like the thought. There was a man that came, and they were in a building program, and a man said, I want to give $1 million, and it'll pay. They needed about $1 million to pay off their building. And the pastor, this was between him and God, he says, we don't want it. He said, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you for your thoughtfulness. Thank you for your kindness. But we just don't believe that God wants one person to pay to finish this building. By the way, that was him. That's not me. If you got $1 million you want to give it, we'll take it. Amen? The process and everything we do is to glorify God. Look at John chapter 15 real fast. John chapter 15. What are we saying? Everything we do, bus worker, bus captain, staff member, deacon, new deacon candidate that's going to be a new deacon soon, nursery worker, whoever it is, God says we do our works to glorify him, and we get to enjoy the blessing and the benefit if we have our motives right. John chapter 15, let me say this, bearing much fruit, the right way glorifies God. John chapter 15, verse number 4. Look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. John 15, verse 1. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Okay, you bear fruit, see people saved, people grow in the Lord. What does he do? He purges us. Why does he purge us? He helps us to be a stronger Christian so we can help more people, so that we can help people to be stronger in the Lord. Beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Listen to this, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How much fruit, class? Much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Let me say this. God would, Marcos and Brother Nick, on your bus route, God would rather see 50 boys and girls, teenagers and adults on the bus getting people saved, then 15. You say, why? Because he said, if you bear much fruit, he's glorified. Now, we don't live to just get a bunch of people here just for a bunch of people's sake, but we want to bring as many people to God, and God will get glory. Amen? Now, I want you to, by the way, my neighbors, everybody over in my neighborhood, they know who I am. They call me Pastor. And I guess most of them like me, I think. Maybe, actually, they don't all like me, but I won't talk about the ones that don't. I gave you a hint, Chick-fil-A. But anyway, there's a very nice black lady that's in our community, and her husband just retired police officer. And she came up to me one day, and she pulled up, and she'll drive by and pull over and talk to me a little bit. And she said, "Pastor," and she calls me Pastor. And she's I think her name's Mrs. Reynolds. She works for the Congresswoman, in our area. And she said, "I was at this. My daughter and I, we were at the city hall, and council meeting. Thank you. You're the Holy Spirit. You just remind me of things. Thanks." And we were at she said, my daughter and I were at the council meeting, and one guy in our neighborhood got up. And actually, I know the guy, and I'm a buddy with him. But anyway, he fusses a little bit. Doesn't just fuss with me; he just fusses with everybody. And he said, "She's telling me the story." She said he got up, and if you've ever been to the council meeting, you get up, and you got the city council up here, and the mayor, and then they give you a little podium, and you get up, and you can just give your complaints. So some of it's like very random stuff. And he comes up and says, "Well, the church over there, they're parking all over the place. All up and down Wardlow, all up and down the frontage road, and just." And she told me, she said, "My daughter said, Mom, are we just going to?" And he was complaining. My neighbor said, "My daughter said, Mom, are we just going to sit here and do nothing?" She said, "No." I think they had got a little huddle. And then she got up there, and then she said her piece, and she said, "Listen." She said, "That church is doing good to this community." And she went on and on and on and on, and she said, "We stepped up for you." She said, "All these cars over here on Sunday morning and Sunday night," she said, "they represent something good going on in this community." Amen? And by the way, if we had 5 cars out there, that would be nice, but we have cars going on that side of Wardlow and this side of Wardlow and over here on Wardlow, and now we have them on Pacific, and we have them parking in front of our neighbors. You're not supposed to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Bearing much fruit, the right way will glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. By the way, for those of you, you remember when we were at the city council meeting, when we were voting to get approval for our building, and John Ditz. He was a very dignified guy, and we were all on pins and needles because we're like, who's going to walk up there next? And who's, because we had our environmentalist buddies that weren't real fond of us. We had our lawyer buddy. We had our city planner. We had some in the sodomite community that was there, and they didn't like us. And then we're like, who's going to get up here next? And the city council's there, I don't know if there's a planning meeting or the city council meeting, I can't remember. And then John Ditz got up. And John Ditz is very, very, very well-established man in this community. He lives in the country clubs over here. And he got up and he said, "I don't know anything about this church." I'm going, we're sunk. Just his voice. How many remember that? Just his voice. I'm like, this guy is going to lay us. He knows something. And then he says, "I see their buses." I'm going, oh, no. Come over to the park and the country clubs. I'm going, man, Adrian's fired. Brother Ross is fired. Joshua's fired. You guys just killed our new building. You know, and our bus ministry goes to the park in the country clubs. Okay. And he went on to say, and I'm thinking, we're sunk. This one of our kids broke a window, eggs on, you know, some of the rich people over there. And I'm going, and then he went on to say, he said, "There's some of the most well-behaved kids I've ever seen." And he says, "If we're going to bring more people like that into our community, let them build their building." And I said, hallelujah. And I start speaking in tongues. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 6. We should glorify God with our bodies. Okay? With our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. By the way, it's more than don't fornicate. It's more than don't commit adultery. It's more than that. And by the way, we believe in that. Don't commit adultery and don't fornicate. It's more than that. You say, what is it? We're supposed to glorify God with our bodies because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You bring your body into some unholy and ungodly communion. You say, what do? You're bringing God into that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? If you're a Christian, your body's a member of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? No. God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He's quoting the Bible about marriage and the consummation of marriage. But he, verse 17, that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Christian, we're not our own. Everything about us, we have been bought with a price. God owns us. We are one of his children. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Please look up here, and we won't belabor this. By the way, that's one reason we should take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to get some rest. We all need to work at our eating right. Okay? Come on now, all of us, me included. Everybody's getting stents in their hearts and heart attacks. Everybody's heart attacks. I don't know if the doctors are just lying to us or we're just eating too many quarter pounders with cheese. Or if just my friends, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like everybody's getting heart attacks. Or they have like some new way to diagnose it or something. Take care of the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to glorify use our body to glorify God. Let me say lastly, we are to glorify God with everything. 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 We have one of our ladies over here. She's preparing to be a heart surgeon. She loves to hear about heart attacks because she gets to fix them. Okay? She was telling me about she gets to go into surgery all the time. She was telling me how they get the saw. It's not quite like that. Cut open the heart. She loves to see that heart pumping. She gets to sometime, when they amputate, she gets to carry some of the limbs out. Got one. Everything we do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're done. Cindy, you need to be a heart surgeon pretty soon because I've been having chest pains. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. We can quote this. Whether therefore you eat, that's a hard one. Eat. Eat. I mean, this isn't like the cartoon version. This is the Bible. Whether therefore ye eat or drink. As that when I talk to Brother Myers, if you ever go to Brother Myers and you get a Diet Coke, he says, cancer in a can. Or brain cancer in a bottle. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or the next word, or whatsoever. Can everybody say whatsoever ye do all to the glory of God? Sunday nights, we've been talking about the family, and I'm done. We've been talking about the family. Our marriages are to glory. You know why, God, first and foremost, we should have a good marriage? Now, I like having a good marriage. I enjoy going home at night smiling at my wife. And then I only like me smiling at her. I like her smiling back. Amen? I like having fellowship with my family. I like having peace with God, but I like having peace with my family. But first and foremost, my marriage is to glorify God. And then as we think about children and child rearing and moms and dads, listen, don't wait until the children are 10 or 11. And I know we've had a few delays in vacation, and I haven't really finished the series on Thursday nights, and I don't think I will, and on Sunday nights. But train your children now. You train them when they're little babies, and it's the funnel principle. You don't start getting strict on them when they're 5. Their character's pretty well set when they're 5. You get strict on them, and you have guidelines, and you teach them, don't do that. And if they do it, they get a spanking. The Asians, they start with incense. Your first spanking is with an incense. Then you get a little older, it's a chopstick. Then if they get a little bigger, it's bamboo. Then you get a little older, it's solid sugar cane. I think it's an AK-47 or something after that. He said baseball bat. When they're little, okay, when they're crawling, I mean, they're crawling. You look at that and you say, no. By the way, they'll go like this. And then you say, no. And they'll start crawling towards it, and you say, no. And they'll stop and look at you. You know what that means? They know what no means. And they go over there and touch it. No dialogue. No, well, honey, why did you do that? No. Spanking. Spanking. I'm talking crawling. They're not walking yet. There's 8 months. I don't know. What's crawling? About 9, 8 months? I don't know. I've only had 8 children. I have no idea. I'm asking you. Okay? Oh, my son, he throws a fit all the time. You tell him you don't throw a fit. No kicking. I don't mean kicking. I mean, say, what do? You say, well, they just have a big fit and they have a big hissy fit. And I don't know what to do. I don't have time to go into it tonight. Look, you say, why is my 11-year-old such a brat? Because you weren't giving him an incense on his bottom when he was 8 months. Come on now. Quit looking at me like that. Now he's 13. It's like, all right, it's time to start speaking. No. I'm not saying, and I don't know about these boys. Probably Tim's 23. I think I gave him one last week. But they don't need many when they're 13 if you were giving them incense when they're 8 months. See, but what's the point here, Pastor? The point is this. All that is to glorify God. Our children being in order, and our children being in submission to God, and our children being in submission to us, and our children following God and being clean and being holy and right. What is it for? You say, why? So that the world can see that Christians are different. And they say, that's what I want. We're here to glorify God. Psalms 127, 3 to 5 talk about the children are a heritage of the Lord. By the way, moms and dads, you really want God's help, you get on your knees and don't say, oh, God, help me because my brother-in-law is shaming me because my children are disobedient or because of our neighbors or people at the church or you know, looking at us because our children. No, no, you get on your knees and say, oh, God, I need your help. I need your guidance because I want to have children to glorify the name of God. Give your children's future to God. I don't think it's wrong, but the term career is not the best term. Life purpose. Life purpose. You say why? God has given every human being a life purpose. And our goal should be to discover that life purpose. And train those children. By the way, we prayed for our children when they were in the womb. We got one in the womb right over here. Got a few in the womb here. We prayed for the children. We prayed for God's will. And our goal was not for them. And by the way, if they make a bunch of money for the glory of God, yes! But my question is, why are we trying to train our children to make money? Is it to glorify God, or do we add to glorify God just to Christianize it, just to sanitize it? No. Our purpose is to rear up those, and those we're stewards, and of course they're our children, humanly speaking, but they've been entrusted to us by God, and we're to rear them up for His glory. By the way, they don't have to go to the mission field for His glory. They don't have to be an assistant pastor for His glory. They don't have to be a youth pastor for His glory. I don't know what you do, but you do something around here. They don't have to do what He does for His glory. But they can be wonderful, godly, holy church members for His glory. Maybe they can stand up in the church and be what the old-timers used to call them, churchmen. You say, what's a churchman? A churchman is a man that loves God and he reads his Bible and he goes to work and he takes care of his family. But when the church doors are open, he's here. When they need a volunteer, he's here. When they have a church service or they have a revival or they have a missions conference, they have a youth conference, they have something special, they say, listen, this is my church. I'm here to serve God. I'm here to glorify God. Unfortunately, it's sort of, we have many men like that in our church, many ladies, but that's not the norm. Give our children in their future to God. Prepare them for a future for God. Shut off the influences of your children. Folks, please protect your children more than you protect your home. We now have pit bulls. We have alarms. I heard the other day, they now have cars that if another car gets close to your car starts talking. We protect our cars. We have clubs for our steering wheels. Are you protecting your children? Say, why? You say, we protect them so that they can be children that glorify God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and let's stand together.